This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
الحمد لله الحمد لله على ذات عظيم الصفات سمي السمات كبير الشأن جليل القدير الرفيع الذكر مطاع الأمر جلي البرهان فخيم الاسم غزيل العلم وسيل حلم كثير الغفران جميل الثناء جليل العطاء مجيب الدعاء عميم الإحسان سري الحساب شديد العقاب أليم العذاب عزيز السلطان ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في الخلق والأمر ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله المبعوث إلى الأسود والأحمر المنعوت بشرح الصدر ورفع الذكر وصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين هم خلاصة العرب العرباء وخيل الخلائق بعد الأنبياء أما بعد فيا أيها الناس واحد الله فإن توحيد رأس الطاعات واتقوا الله فإن التقوى ملاك الحسنات وعليكم بالسنة فإن السنة تهدي إلى الإطاعة ومن أطاع الله ورسوله فقد رشد واهتدى وإياكم والبدعة فإن البدعة تهدي إلى المعصية ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل وغوى وعليكم بالإحسان فإن الله يحب المحسنين وادعوه فإنه مجيب الداعين واستغفروه يمددكم بأموال وبنين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولقد نصركم الله في مواطن كثيرة ويوم حنين إذ أعجبتكم كثرتكم فلم تغني عنكم شيئا وضاقت عليكم الأرض بما رحبت ثم وليتم مدبرين ثم أنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وأنزل جنودا لم تروها وعذب الذين كفروا وذلك جزاء الكافرين ثم يتوب الله من بعد ذلك على من يشاء والله غفور رحيم. In the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we find so many lessons and realizations. As Sufyan ibn Uyayna, one of the great scholars and one of the great contributors to Islamic knowledge in the second century, he says that ilmul maghazi fihi ilmu dunya wal akhirah, that the understanding and the knowledge of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam provides perspectives both in terms of our lives and how we live in this world, and also in terms of our eternity in the life of the hereafter. And there's so much benefit that we can derive, not only in just this life and this world, but also in terms of the life of the hereafter, by analyzing and closely studying and looking at and reflecting upon the life of the Prophet ﷺ. When we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, and we particularly look at moments of difficulty, we look at moments where challenges were presented, adversity was faced, we oftentimes reflect on situations like the Battle of Badr. We oftentimes will reflect on situations like the Battle of the Trench, Al-Khandaq, in which we're familiar with this story. It's a lot of times what we refer to in our culture as an underdog story, overcoming greater odds, overcoming the numbers, where the Muslims were fewer and they were weaker in terms of resources, but yet they were able to still achieve victory by the will, the permission, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a very important and powerful lesson, particularly during these very difficult and troubling times as we continue to witness the genocide proceeding in Gaza. However, there is another perspective as well. The other perspective, and I reference the verses from Surah At-Tawbah, Surah number 9, from ayahs 25, 26, and 27, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares a different perspective. Because there's not just one trap. One trap is for someone to be facing daunting circumstances, overwhelming odds, and then the person is overwhelmed by that, and the person succumbs to the weight and the pressure of facing such overwhelming odds and gives up and surrenders. And that's the lesson of Badr, that we don't give up. But there is another trap as well. There is the opposite perspective, where we might become so enamored with resources. We might become so obsessed with the means to a particular end, a particular means to a particular end. And we might be deluding ourselves and still preventing ourselves from fully embracing faith and humility and hope in Allah, and not focusing on the task that's in front of us in terms of our devotion and our commitment and our dedication, in terms of our own internal strength and bond and unity, and ensuring that our own house is in order and that we are all coming together and that we are hopeful in Allah above and beyond anything else. And what we end up doing is we end up deluding ourselves that yes, we are hopeful in the help of Allah, but there are these resources and these means, and these resources and these means will ensure victory. And that will bring about success. And these resources will translate to success. And so Allah provided us the opposite perspective and also addressed this trap that many of us might fall into in the life of the Prophet ﷺ. And that was in the Battle of Hunain. The Battle of Hunain is so interesting and remarkable because it comes at a very interesting moment. In the sixth year of Hijrah, the sixth year of the Prophet ﷺ's residence in Medina, you had the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And that ensured a level of peace and a level of security, at least for the time being. And that allowed the Muslims to start being able to establish themselves. Medina became a lot more stable and safe. And they were able to address some of the enemies that were to the north and to the south. At Khaybar, at Bin Mustaliq, they were able to address these different situations. And the Muslims were on very solid footing. And if anything was left, that further was ensured through the conquest of Mecca, Fathu Mecca, in the eighth year of Hijrah. And once Mecca came into the fold of Islam and Mecca surrendered, now it seemed like the Muslims had won. And for the first time, they had the numbers, they had the resources, they had the means, they had all the odds were in their favor. And so for someone who had always been an underdog and always had the shorter end of the stick, now this seemed to make the task even that much easier. And so when the threat presented itself in the Valley of Hunain, the tribes of Hawazin and Thaqif had gathered together to launch an attack and an offensive against the Muslims. And when the Prophet ﷺ led the Sahaba, along with thousands of people who had just come into the fold of Islam, the Muslims outnumbered the enemy 3-1. Completely the reverse of Badr, where the odds were 1 for every 3. And now the Muslims were outnumbering the enemy 3-1. And they had the resources, and they had the means, and they had the artillery and the weaponry and everything you could ask for. And when they descended into the battle of the battlefield, and the battle began, they very quickly became overwhelmed. And the enemy launched its offensive and was fighting with a kind of fervor and energy and enthusiasm that it seemed had been lost on the Muslim side. Because again, the eyes and the minds and even the hearts were fixated on the numbers and the power and the might and the resources and the means. And the Muslims started to suffer the loss very, very quickly. The Muslims started reeling. The narration of Bukhari tells us that they came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said, "Ahraqatna nibalu thaqif. Fad'u Allah alayhim. Ya Rasulullah, that they are killing us with their arrows. Make dua against them." And the Prophet ﷺ, he raised his hands and he said, "Allahumma hdi thaqifan. Oh Allah, guide the people of Thaqif." And then he admonished the companions who came to him with that request. He said, "Inni lama ub'ath la'anan wa innama bu'ithtu rahmatan. I was not sent to damn and doom and curse people. I was sent as a mercy for humanity." And as the enemy kept making its push forward, chaos and confusion started to occur on the side of the believers, and many of them started to turn and run and flee, and started crashing into one another, and that created even more chaos. And it seemed like the battle was slipping away. And then the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the narration mentions, ala baghlatihi al-bayda, he was riding a white mule, and Abu Sufyan, who had accepted Islam, was holding the reins, the rope of the donkey. And Abbas, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was by his side. And Abbas was a very tall man with a loud booming voice. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Repeat after me." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started calling out, "Ana ibn Abdul Muttalib." I am the grandson of Abdul Muttalib. You know who I am. Ana an-nabiyyu la kadhib. I am the prophet of God. You know this is true. And then he started calling out, "Aina ashabu Badr? Aina ashabu Shajara? Where are the people of Badr? Where are the people who gave me the oath of allegiance under the tree at the site of Hudaybiyah? Where are you?" And the narration mentions that a couple of hundred of the more senior, tenured companions who had been through the battles and the trenches, literally and figuratively, they had been through the entire journey with the Prophet ﷺ. They rallied and they surrounded the Prophet ﷺ, and then they made a push forward and they were able to defeat the enemy very quickly, very easily, with fewer numbers than the enemy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses this. وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا. Allah aided you and helped you in so many different places. You went through Badr and Uhud and Khandaq and Khaybar. You've been through all of this. And we as an ummah have been through all of this and so much more. وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ. But then on the day of Hunayn, something changed. Something changed. What changed? إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ. Something changed internally. The external situation Allah is essentially calling it irrelevant. But what changed was internal. You became enamored, you became infatuated, you became obsessed with your numbers. فَلَمْ تُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. And your numbers were of no use to you. They were of no help to you. وَضَاقَتْ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأَرْضُ بِمَا رَحُبَتْ. And even though the earth was so vast, it felt like the earth was closing in around you. ثُمَّ وَلَّيْتُمْ مُدْبِرِينَ. And many of you turned and started to flee. ثُمَّ أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ سَكِينَتَهُ عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. But then Allah sent down His tranquility, His serenity upon His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the equation right there. Allah sent you the victory. لَقَدَ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ. Allah helped you. Allah sent His tranquility. Allah sent the peace and the serenity. عَلَىٰ رَسُولِهِ. And it comes through His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Look to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Follow in the footsteps of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And then upon the believers. Strengthen yourself amongst one another. Look around and see who's been through all the battles. Those are the people that have proven themselves time and time again, through thick and thin. وَأَنزَلَ جُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And then Allah sent down an army that you could not see. Divine help and assistance. We have a different math. We have a different formula. We have a different mode of operating. وَعَذَّبَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And Allah punished and destroyed those who opposed Allah and His Messenger. وَذَلِكَ جَزَاءُ الْكَافِرِينَ. And that is what happens with such people. ثُمَّ يَتُوبُ اللَّهُ مِنْ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ عَلَى مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And then Allah can forgive whomsoever He wills after that. وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. And indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. But this is that lesson, this is that reminder. That even now, let's start off with at the most simple, basic level. We all face different difficulties in our lives. We all face different challenges in terms of life, in terms of family, in terms of money. We all face different challenges. And we a lot of times end up deluding ourselves by saying that, well, it's connected directly to these resource-related realities. That if once I'm able to get a good job, then I'll be able to overcome this. Once I'm able to make X amount of money, then I'll get this right. Once I can get past this, once I can take care of that, once this person, you know, enters into the equation, then. And essentially what we are doing is we are deluding ourselves. فَأَنَّا تُؤْفَكُونَ. What deludes you so? And that's exactly why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasizes not once but twice in the Quran, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. That go to Allah. That's your actual solution. Now obviously, assuming the means and utilizing the resources that's in front of us is a part of our deen. But that's exactly it. We utilize those resources but not rely upon them. We employ those resources but not believe in them. And that's the difference. And when it goes to even something much more greater that's affecting all of us today as an ummah, then when we look at the situation of Muslim suffering, our brothers and sisters in Gaza and all throughout the rest of the world, we have to be sure that we are not becoming too reliant upon, to the point where we are now attaching our faith and our belief to the resources or to the means. And I say that because if we end up putting too much of our faith into the resources and the means, that if X happens, then Y will occur. And if this happens, then that will take care of itself. If it doesn't go that way, if it's all not nice and tidy and plays out exactly as we've perceived it, then the greater tragedy and the greater loss would be that we end up losing faith in that situation. And that we lose faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we lose the thing that actually was our source of strength. And our source of strength was always our belief and our faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what gave us strength. That's what made us who we are. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly taught us this example here at the end of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it's a really remarkable period, these last couple of years of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because you have Fathu Makkah, but then you have this situation, the Battle of Hunain. After the Battle of Hunain, the Muslims then go march on to Ta'if to deal with the enemy, Banu Thaqif, who fled and took shelter and refuge in their fortress. And the Muslims laid siege to the fortress of Ta'if for at least a week. And they could not get them to budge. And they ultimately had to just turn away and leave from there. So there's this constant reminder of our own limitations and how this is ultimately in the hands of Allah. And we just have to keep doing our job. We have to keep putting in the work. We have to keep turning back to Allah and doing what we do faithfully. And when they come back from there, and it seems like, again, everything is moving forward and Muslims are achieving victory after victory, then comes the shock of the news of a massive army, unlike anything they've ever even heard of before, approaching from the north. And it's a very daunting situation. They don't know if they're going to come back alive, and they march to Tabuk. 30,000 Muslims. But the intelligence says there's 100, maybe 200,000 of the enemy. So now think about the weight and the burden of that. Once again, humbling them. But when they arrive there, no enemy shows up. So there's relief. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala constantly kept the ummah on its toes in this way. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Because that's the nature of this world, and that's the system of Allah. But I say that not only just so that we just resign ourselves, once again, ups and downs, highs and lows, so what? It'll play itself out. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to do anything. No, we have to understand and extract the lesson within that. And the lesson within that is we never ever completely surrender to our circumstances in this dunya. That's the whole point of iman. وَبِالْآخِرَتِكُمْ يُوقِنُونَ. To be connected to something that is way beyond what we see happening in this world. The reality and the truth behind our circumstances. That this is the will and the decree of Allah. And everything is in the hands of Allah. And I need to surrender myself to Allah. Never to the circumstances in this dunya. Whether they are against us or for us. But always be connected back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم أستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وقال ربكم ادعوني أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين. This leads us to a very important discussion, something I myself have been reflecting on constantly, and it's a lesson that we always need a reminder in regards to. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam alludes to the verse of the Quran and says this is the weightiest verse upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Quran. فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ. Be steadfast upon what you have been commanded to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam speaking about this, he says, إِذَا قَامَتِ السَّاعَةُ وَفِي أَحْدِكُمْ فَسِيلَةٌ فَلْيَغْرِسْهَا. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you have been tasked with planting this sapling and the day of judgment starts to occur, the end of the world begins to unfold, finish planting the tree that's been put in your hands. Finish your job. Do the tasks you've been given. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith of Sahih Muslim, when giving advice to his ummah, he says, ihris ala ma yanfa'uk. Do what you know is good for you. Wasta'in billah, and rely upon Allah. Seek the aid and the assistance and strength from Allah. Wala ta'ajizanna, and never ever be defeated. Never give up. Never be deterred. Ali bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when explaining what made them so successful, there was a lot of curiosity towards the end of the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. As the next generation of Muslims were there, there was a lot of curiosity about what made the Sahaba so remarkable. They understood, obviously, the company of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in and of itself is something that can never be substituted or replaced or replicated. But nonetheless, again, it's not that simple. What lessons can I take from this? What lessons can I derive from this? And so they were curious, what made you so special? And Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, غَايَةُ الْكَرَامَةِ لُزُومُ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ. What made us great, what made us amazing, what made us remarkable was our obsessive consistency. We were obsessed with consistency and steadfastness. Doing it every single day, morning, afternoon, and evening. That consistency was remarkable. And that's what made them so amazing. That they were always on task. They always stayed true to what they had been commanded to do. They were reliable, they were dependable. That's a very high standard. That's a very lofty thing. Even saying it, right? I feel embarrassed even talking about it. And it's difficult to hear. But that has to be the effort and that has to be the goal. That has to be what we have to focus on, we have to work on. And we get the opportunity, we start, as we say, with baby steps, we get the opportunity to start implementing it at a very simple level. That we are here for Salatul Jumu'ah, walhamdulillah, that is a blessing of Allah, and we thank Allah for this blessing. But in just a couple of hours, we get that test. We'll receive our very first quiz with Salatul Asr. Later this evening, we'll be presented maybe with somebody who needs help or aid or assistance. Or tomorrow morning, we'll hear about somebody that needs some help with something. And we'll be tested again. And that is where we have the opportunity to start making some progress in regards to this. That I'm going to become consistent. I'm going to start putting in that work every single day. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to be able to practice everything we've said and heard. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us steadfastness, istiqamah, consistency. Ameen. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى أزواجه وذريته اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى اللهم عنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وصلى الله تعالى على النبي الكريم قال الله تعالى إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون أقيم الصلاة
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
بسم
استوى اعتدلوا سووا الصفوف تراصوا straighten the lines fill in the gaps الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين سبح اسم ربك الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى والذي أخرج المرعى فجعله غثاء أحوى سنقرئك فلا تنسى إلا ما شاء الله إنه يعلم الجهر وما يخفى ونيسرك لليسرى فذكر إن نفعت الذكرى سيذكر من يخشى ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا الله سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله